Hi, this is Rick Warren, and you're listening to Daily Hope. Did you know you can't become like Jesus Christ without becoming generous? The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he gave. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. God's heart overflows with generosity, and he wants you to learn to be as generous as he is. That's what we're going to look at today on Daily Hope. Let's get started.
Thanks for joining us here on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren. You know, the world tells us that we shouldn't count on anyone but ourselves to make our way in life. We don't need anybody's help. We know what's best for us. And as we come to the last couple of days in our series called Better Together, well, we'll see that God's Word, the Bible, says the exact opposite. Do you know what God's five purposes for your life are? If not, then stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about the 40 Days of Community devotional book. This powerful tool is the key to developing healthy relationships that will help you and your friends find and fulfill God's purposes. You can take a sneak peek at this great resource by texting the word DAILY to 313131 while you listen to today's program. That's the word DAILY to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Living a Generous Life.
Koinonia. Now, koinonia is such an important word. It's translated many different ways because, like a diamond that has many multiple facets to it, so does fellowship. And in the Bible, there you'll notice on your outline that koinonia is translated as not just fellowship, it's translated as community. I gave you one example, there are a lot more than these. It's translated as participation, koinonia is translated as contribution. And koinonia is translated as generosity. Now, this is important because all four of these are essential elements of fellowship. If you and I are going to have fellowship together, there's got to be a sense of community. There has to be some participation on my part and on your part. There has to be a contribution where I make a contribution into your life and you make a contribution into my life. And there has to be generosity. You cannot have community without generosity. We're generous with our time and with our energy, with our money, with our resources, with all of the different parts of our lives. And so you really can't enjoy community without these other things, participation, contribution, and generosity. Let me show you just a few examples from the Bible. If you look up here on the screen, the first verse is Philippians 4:15. It says, you became my partners in giving. That phrase, partners in giving, is one word in the Greek. It's the word koinonia. Partners in giving is the same word for fellowship. And then in Hebrews 13:16, keep doing good and sharing your resources. That phrase, sharing your resources, that's the word for community. That's the word for fellowship. It's koinonia. And then the next one, 2 Corinthians 8:4, they begged us to let them have the joy of giving their money for God's people. And that phrase, joy of giving their money, actually is the word for fellowship. It's the word for koinonia, for community, koinonia. And then one more, 1 Timothy 6:18, be generous and willing to share. And that phrase there, willing to share, is just one word in the original in the Bible. It's the word koinonia. And so you can't have community without generosity, and we can't complete our study of community without looking at how to be more generous with each other. I read this interesting quote this week. Carl Menninger, the famous psychiatrist who founded the world-famous Menninger Psychiatric Clinic, said this, generosity is one of the essential components of mental health. We have found that generous people are rarely mentally ill. Generous people are rarely mentally ill. All right, why does God want us to learn to be generous with each other? Well, there are seven wonderful, incredible benefits to my life when God says I'm generous with other people. Here they are. Number one, generosity creates community. Generosity creates community. 2 Corinthians 9 tells us, your generosity not only provides for the needs of God's people, but also produces prayers of thanksgiving to God. When we're generous with each other, we thank God for each other, and we're drawn closer to each other. Randy Frazee learned about the connection between generosity and community from his unchurched neighbor. He wrote this. He said, my neighbor asked if he could borrow my ladder. And I said, of course. I later learned that he already had one of his own. He didn't need to borrow my ladder. He just used it as a way to build our relationship. And when he borrowed my stuff, it made me feel that I was needed. And I liked that feeling. I've now learned to do the same thing with my other neighbors. My other neighbor, Randy, has a shop vac. And I borrow it every Friday night to clean my car with my son. In fact, now Roger leaves it out for me. I told Roger recently that I could afford to buy my own shop vac, but I just liked the interaction with borrowing his. Roger asked me to please not buy one for myself. You see, he can now see the connection between generosity and community. You see, the Bible says this. Look at the next verse, Matthew 6. Read it with me. Your heart will be wherever your treasure is. In other words, wherever I put my time, my money, my effort, my energy, wherever I invest myself, that's what's going to attract me. My money tends to be a magnet. In other words, if you want to get a heart for Microsoft, buy some stock. It's real simple. The moment you buy some stock in Microsoft, you'll be very interested in that company. The same is true. You want to be interested in the United States of America's economy? Buy some treasury bills. And as the economy goes up and down, you're going to be very interested in the American economy if you're buying treasury bills. You see, wherever you put your time and money, that's where your heart is. That's what Jesus said. So for many of you, your heart is in your boat. That's where you're putting your time and money and energy. Or your heart may be in your home. That's where you're putting your time, your money, and your energy, fixing it up. Or your heart may be in your work. That's where you're putting your time, your money, and your energy. Or it may be in a hobby. That's where you put your time, your money, and your energy. Wherever your treasure is, your heart's going to be there. So anytime I'm generous with you, or I'm generous with the poor, or I'm generous with anybody, with God or anybody, that's where my heart tends to go. And every time I give to God, it draws my heart closer to God. And every time I give to you, it draws my heart closer to you. Giving or generosity creates community. Now, the first Christians were very famous for their generosity. In Acts chapter 4, it tells us, the community of believers shared everything in common. They were a family. They just shared it all. What's mine is yours, and you can share it with me. Now, it was voluntary. It's not communism. Communism says, what's yours is mine, and I'm going to take it. Christianity says, what's mine is yours, and you can share it with me. Now, when you had children or little kids in your home, if you were a parent, did you enjoy watching them share with each other? Of course you did. One of the primary lessons of life teaching little kids is learning how to share. And when you would see your kids be unselfish, you're very happy with that. And God is the same way. When God looks down on us and he sees us being generous with each other, he's going, that's my boy. That's my girl. They're doing what I want them to do because God is generous and he wants us to become like him. Generosity creates community. Number two, generosity defeats materialism. The more generous I am with you, the more it defeats materialism in my life. Now, would you agree that we live in a culture of materialism? Well, yeah, especially here in Orange County where it's, you know, get all you can all you get, and sit on the can. You know, it's like the goal is to get more and more and more, and just about the time you catch up with the Joneses, they refinance. Or they file bankruptcy, but either way, you know, you never can catch up. And it's like, can I get more? I want more. I got to have more. I got to save more. I got to spend more. And just about the time you think you've got it all, the Christmas catalogs come out. And they tell you about all kinds of things you didn't know you couldn't live without. And so you've got to go out and get more and more. And we do live in a very materialistic culture. Now, the antidote to materialism, there's only one antidote. It is generosity. The more, every time you're generous, you have a spiritual victory in your heart. Every time you're generous, your heart grows. It doesn't shrink, it grows. Every time you're generous, you break the grip of materialism in your life. Why? Because materialism is all about getting. Get. You know? And it is my nature to get and to hold on. And God says, every time you share with a friend, share with your family, share with a neighbor, anytime you're generous with anybody, you are breaking the grip and defeating materialism in your life. By the way, that's why you, if you're a parent, you need to have your kids watch you giving. They need to see you being generous. They're not going to learn it anywhere else. You're being generous. They just need to see you model it.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Living a Generous Life from our series called Better Together. The rest of today's message is coming your way in just a few moments. But right now, if you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to rickwarren.org and click on his social media links. Oh, and while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. That's rickwarren.org or just text the word daily to 313131. Again, that's the word daily to 313131.
The 40 Days of Community devotional book by Rick Warren is a dynamic individual or small group study that shows you how to fulfill God's five purposes for your life by establishing and maintaining meaningful, purposeful relationships. This devotional book unpacks the biblical support for each of God's five purposes and shows how you put them to use in your circle of influence so that you can help benefit and grow God's kingdom. Pastor Rick says that God planned for Christians to fulfill his purpose in community with each other in our church families, small groups, and in the world as a whole. But why did God plan it this way? Because we're better together. When you support Daily Hope with a financial gift, we'll send you the 40 Days of Community devotional book as our way of saying thanks. Call us right now at 800-600-5004 or go to rickwarren.org to request your copy. That's 800-600-5004 or rickwarren.org. If you like, you can simply text the word daily to 313131. That's the word daily to 313131. Your gift to Daily Hope helps us share the hope of Christ with people around the world. Thanks in advance for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Every time you're generous, you have a spiritual victory in your heart. Every time you're generous, your heart grows. It doesn't shrink, it grows. Every time you're generous, you break the grip of materialism in your life. Why? Because materialism is all about getting. Get. You know? And it is my nature to get and to hold on. And God says, every time you share with a friend, share with your family, share with a neighbor, anytime you're generous with anybody, you are breaking the grip and defeating materialism in your life. By the way, that's why you, if you're a parent, you need to have your kids watch you giving. They need to see you being generous. Because they're certainly not going to learn it in schools in Orange County. They're not going to learn it anywhere else. You're being generous. They just need to see you model it in front of them so that they can learn it too. Now the Bible says this in Matthew 6:24. You cannot serve both God and money. Would you circle the word cannot? Notice it doesn't say you should not. It says you cannot. It's an impossibility. You can't have two number ones in your life. You can't say making a lot of money is number one in my life and God's number one. One of them has to be number one. You have to choose what's going to be number one. So anytime you're generous with other people, you're creating community with them and you're defeating materialism. Number three, it strengthens my faith. It strengthens my faith. Generosity strengthens my faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:13, your giving proves the reality of your faith. Now, we've talked about this a lot. We talk about 201 class. There are more promises in this book, in the Bible, about giving than promises about any other subject. In fact, God talks more about giving than he does about heaven or hell. Why? Because he wants us to become like him. God is a generous God. You would have nothing in your life. I would have nothing in my life if it weren't for the generosity of God. I wouldn't take my next breath if it weren't for the generosity of God. And so God says, I just want you to learn to be like me. I'm generous with you, and I want you to learn to be like me, to be generous with other people. Now, sooner or later, you have to decide, do I believe all those promises in the Bible? Here's one of them. It's a principle in 2 Corinthians 9. It says this. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, you know this principle because it's true in every area of life. that if you give out judgmentalism, if you're judgmental of other people are going to judge you. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you're critical of other people all the time, you're picking at them, you're nitpicking, they're going to be critical of you. If you gossip about other people, I can guarantee it, people will gossip about you. If you're envious and jealous of other people are going to be envious and jealous of you. And whatever you give out, you're going to get back. On the other hand, if you are constantly giving out encouragement and you're sowing affirmation and you're sowing kindness, people are going to be affirming and encouraging and kind to you. And if you sow love and you're loving to other people, people are going to sow love back to you. Whatever you give out in life, you're going to get back. God wired the universe that way. But you get back more than you give. Always. Always. If I take a kernel of corn and I plant it in the ground, I'm not going to get one kernel back. I'm going to get a stock with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kernels. If I take one tomato seed and I plant it in the ground, I'm not going to get one tomato back. I'm going to get a whole ton of tomatoes. And so whatever you give out, you're going to get back in a greater degree. Why? God wants us to learn to be generous. Now, sooner or later, I have to ask God, ask myself, am I going to trust these promises? Where he says, I'll take care of all your needs if you'll just be generous. And the reason he asked me to do that, because it's the exact opposite of my human nature. It is my nature to amass, to hoard, to stockpile, to accumulate, to get it all to myself, and to be fearful and insecure, thinking, I can't give away anything. I got to keep it all. Because how will I be taking care of myself? And Jesus said, life doesn't consist in what you collect, it's what you give. You see, there are two kinds of people in life. There are givers and there are takers. Only two. You're either a giver in life or you're a taker. Takers are always the unhappy ones. You see, it's not by accident the word miser and miserable come from the same Greek word. Miser and miserable. When I am a miser, I will be miserable. The most giving, the most generous people in life are always giving their time, giving their energy, giving their resources, helping other people. They're the happiest people on the planet. And so money actually becomes the acid test of my faith. Am I going to be generous and expect God to keep his promises? See, a lot of people, even believers, when it comes to money, they act like atheists, like God isn't there. You know, Bob McEwen tells this cute story about his son. He took his son over to McDonald's, and he bought him, his little son, one of these super-sized French fries. And he said, driving back home, those things smelled so good in the car. Those French fries, that aroma was just wafting over. And he said, I reached over, and I just took one little French fry out of my son's French fries, and I ate it. And my son got all upset and said, Dad, you can't have that one. These are my fries. He said, you know, I immediately had three thoughts. He said, first, as I sat there, I thought, my child has forgotten that I am the source of all fries. Okay. I brought him here. I took him to McDonald's. I made the order. I paid for the order. I handed them to him. I'm driving him back home. He wouldn't have any fries if it weren't for me. The only reason he's got any fries is because of me, the great fry giver. He said, the second thing I thought is, my child doesn't realize I could take him away in a second if I wanted to. Okay? Or, on the other hand, I could buy him an entire truckload of fries if I wanted to, because I had the power to do either. He said, the third thing I realized is I didn't need his fries. In fact, I could easily get my own. I could buy myself 100 packs of them if I wanted to. I just wanted him to learn to be unselfish. Now, those three lessons are the things why God wants you to learn to be generous with other people. Same thing. God says, I want you to remember that I am the source of everything you've got, and you would have zip, nothing. You wouldn't even be alive if it weren't for me. I chose to create you, and I've chosen to give you all the things that you've got. It's all from me. Number two, I could take it away from you, just like that, or I could double it just like that, because I got the power. And number three, God says, I don't need your fries. I don't need your money. I'm not poor. I just want you to learn to be unselfish. I want you to learn to be generous. I want you to learn, and I want to develop your faith. Now, what happens when I start becoming a more generous person? Well, look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make it up to you by giving you everything you need and, notice, plenty left over to give joyfully to others. God says, you know what? If you will practice generosity in being generous with the people around you, he said, I will make it up to you by giving you everything you need, plus I'll even give you more so you'll have more to share with other people. God is looking for channels to use. He's looking for people to say, God, use me to be a blessing to other people. And in the meantime, you get blessed in order to be a blessing. And when God finds a channel, it's like a straw, he just starts pouring straight through it. Because most people, they get it and they keep it. They don't get it and pass it on. Yet God says, if you learn to be generous, I will bless you more than you can imagine. I've seen this over and over in thousands of letters that we've received. During the 25 years of Saddleback's history, we've had four special giving emphasis. One of them was years ago, back in 87, called Possess Our Land. And 633 people, families, sacrificed to buy this property at great expense. And they sacrificed. They were very generous. They put off buying homes and cars and stuff like that in order to buy this property, which you're now sitting on. And then in 93, we had another one called Time to Build. We were in a tent. And a bunch of people sacrificed, and they gave, and they generously shared, and we built this building, which we're now meeting in, and the venues that all of you others who are in venues are meeting in. But the bottom line is this. During all of those emphasis, we have received thousands of letters where people said, my faith grew more during that time than any other time because I was being challenged, and I learned to be generous, and it strengthened my faith.
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Rick will be back in just a moment with an encouraging closing thought. Now, if you've missed any part of this message, you can listen online anytime at rickwarren.org. Oh, and while you're at the website, please be sure to sign up for Rick's free Daily Hope email devotional. Listen to Rick's messages, click on his social media links, and check out all the other helpful study resources available to you. Again, it's rickwarren.org. And please be sure to tell your friends and loved ones about all these great resources. And thanks so much for supporting Daily Hope. Now here's Pastor Rick with a closing thought.
God created us to need community. You need it. I need it. There's a longing for belonging in every human heart. We're made to need each other. And whether you ever get married or not, you need relationships. And more than that, you need a spiritual family where you can grow together. How do you do that? Well, one of the ways is through the Better Together 40-Day Devotional. It's a book that I've put together that will help you discover how to learn the one another's of the New Testament, how to love one another, to reach out to one another, to fellowship with one another, to grow because of one another, to serve one another, and to worship together. The Bible tells us that we're better together. Now, in this Better Together 40-Day Devotional, there's some journaling pages so you can record your own thoughts, you can write down your own prayers as you learn about the power and the potential of Christian community. And by the way, it's a perfect complement to the 40 Days of Community Study Kit that I've been telling you is available for a small group. Right now, when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope, I will send you the Better Together Devotional book. Now, these devotionals are going to help you develop the skills for deeper relationships with your family, with your friends, with your neighbors, with the people in your church family. Doesn't that sound good? Well, it sounds good to me. Not only will they be blessed, you will be blessed too. And you can make your contribution to Daily Hope Ministry on the website, rickwarren.org. And again, I want to remind you, I don't take any money from this ministry. I do it for free. I volunteer my time because I love you and I want you to be all God wants you to be. God bless you, and I hope you'll join me next time as we continue looking into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.